This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Cut him every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
I'm in a very bad mood today. That was a very upsetting game at the Garden last night. It is DiPietro. It is Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Rick, I can't say good morning because I don't believe that to be true. I'm on no sleep. I'm very annoyed. And do you know who the bulk of my annoyance is directed at? Let me say morning to you before we even start out here. Morning.
Good morning. Don't be in that bad of a mood.
I'm in a very bad mood.
No, you can't be in a very bad mood. You can be in a bad mood. I would say I'd be red hot a little bit, but I mean, you still had the Mets took care of business.
The Mets took care of business. But however, I would have absolutely traded a split for the Mets for a Rangers win.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. But hey, I mean, it's one of those spots. And as a Rangers fan, I know you said it earlier. It's like, if you're going to lose, just lose, lose in the first overtime.
That's why I'm very upset. I thought the officiating, that's a goal. And you know what annoyed me too? We're on this group text, and it's as if everyone else has no opinion or is just an absolute walking moron. Because, everyone starts with that's a bad call. Bad call. Brutal call. Let's not say it's a brutal call until Rick chimes in. Rick, what do you think about that call? And then finally, your excellency chimes in and is like, no, guys, that's a brutal call.
No, it was an awful call. And so, because I do the NHL stuff with ESPN, so I'm connected. Like, they'll send me an email from the NHL Situation Room, like an explanation as to why a call was made. So I got the explanation as, the video review determined that New York's Kaapo Kakko impaired Casey DeSmith's ability to play his position in the crease prior to Filip Hedl's goal. Well, yeah, that's true, but it wouldn't have happened if he wasn't pushed into
that's what I'm saying.
Casey DeSmith.
He was pushed in. I mean, and it was obvious. And Valaket showed it on the replays. And watch his head. Watch his neck. It pushes him in the back, right in the numbers.
Well, see, what happens there, too, is as you're coming into the net, right, shoulder down, and you can see he tries to make that cut back, and you can see his feet. And I thought Valley did a good job of explaining it, to cut back around DeSmith to try to tuck the puck in that far side. And as he's coming back, that's when the contact is made, and it pushes him forward. And of course, in that moment, you can't. I mean, what's he going to do? So he ends up wiping out the goalie. I think you guys, and you can say what you want, and you don't want to blame referees, but I think you guys got screwed, because I think that was a bad call. I do.
And it was a goal on the ice.
Here's the thing, though. In saying this, I will also say this, is you're already going up against their backup goalie. And now the backup goalie apparently goes, I mean, they say lower body, I would probably lean cramps. And you got Louis Domingue, who pops on the ice. He thinks they're joking initially, comes on the ice in the second OT. He's cold, right? It looks like he just took his pads out of the box there. I mean, a fresh, brand new, beautiful set of true pads, not a puck mark on him. Guy just got done eating, and it's maybe the best sound. RJ, play the sound for me. It could be my favorite sound of all time.
Oh, God.
You can't make it up. I had a
terrible stink.
Oh, great, great.
No, you know what's funny? So that's our guy. That's Evan Fournier. And I know he drives me and you crazy. And then you got Louis Domingue, who doesn't make excuses for a bad meal, just decides that in between the first and second OT, he wants to have spicy pork and broccoli. Who is ordering the food for the Penguins? Did he Grubhub it?
You figure it's the last thing you would want an athlete to have during the heat of battle.
Yeah, well, I mean, did he Grubhub towel? Like, what athletic trainer or what, like, is like, you know, hey, what guys, what do you want? Give me the spicy pork and broccoli.
All right, here is Louis Domingue, spicy pork and broccoli.
I actually had quite the meal in between the first and the second overtime. I didn't expect going in, but maybe it sustained my energy. So it was cool, though. It was cool to be part of that.
You say quite the meal. What was it?
Some spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best.
What are you doing?
Not the best.
What are you doing? Here's the truth. Here's the truth. He thought there was a better chance that you were playing goalie last night than him. He thought there was zero chance he was going into the game. So why not have some spicy pork and broccoli?
Yeah, but why have that as an option is my point.
I know.
Why is that an option?
When he said, can I have spicy pork and broccoli, they should have been like, no, you cannot.
Yeah, why are we doing, why are we doing Chinese takeout in between the first and second OT?
Where do you, I guess they must go upstairs and get that, right?
Well, no, yeah, or you can order in. I mean, usually for us, we'll have our trainer will order us food for after the game. And it's usually healthy. We'll have pizza. There'll be pizzas, but there'll also be whatever, chicken, vegetable, pasta, something like that. Not spicy pork and broccoli.
No, spicy pork and broccoli is ridiculous. You hear of bananas, right? Pasta, all the things that give you energy.
Food, yeah, exactly right. I mean, some kind of carb or, because you're hungry. I mean, you're starting to get dehydrated. Not spicy. And I'll tell you what, I can't be mad at him just because, I've been in a situation like that because you don't think you're going to go in and you start, I'll never forget, I'm in Montreal. They have the best hot dogs and I don't have to sit on the bench in Montreal because it's too tight. So you get to sit in the hallway. So I'm I got the TV going. I got a pretzel, a hot dog. I got a nice, delicious diet soda. And then, right... You're going in. I was like, no, you're lying. No, you're going in. I got mustard on my jersey. I'm trying to run out. It was a disaster.
But that wasn't game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, was it?
No, yeah. It was not game one. I would have been hiding in the locker room if I was him.
Some spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best.
Not the best. But at least no excuses.
I had a terrible steak.
Fournier made some good saves.
No, he made some good saves, man. Sometimes in a situation like that, when you're not... you're just going cold. You haven't thought about it. There's no, you're not even realizing the moment.
Yeah, you can't get yourself crazy.
Yeah, you don't get yourself all worked up.
You don't even have time. So I am very angry, at one person on the show. Very angry. Do you think it's you, Rick?
No, it can't be me.
Okay. Who would you guess that it could potentially
RJ.
Be?
RJ.
So you think it's RJ?
Yep.
Why would you think it's RJ?
He didn't stay up and watch the whole game with you?
No. That's understandable. RJ wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And you're right, it is RJ. But that's not the reason. RJ, you know why I'm furious with you this morning, don't you?
I'm gonna guess because of yesterday's question, but I really don't know.
He put it into the atmosphere. Now, Rick, you're a guy that always claims don't say stuff like that. So after the show, RJ and I were playing the hypothetical game. And I said, I'm so excited. Can't wait for the Rangers tonight. Win game one, the whole thing. I said, love a 7-0 win, 5-2. Just go out there, win the game. I don't care how you win it. Just win it. And RJ goes, I would much prefer the Rangers to lose a triple overtime game than to win the game comfortably 5-2. I'm all about storylines here on the show. That's what I'm about. I'm about bachelor parties, blowing off friends for dinner parties, and the Rangers losing in triple overtime with storylines. That's what I'd like to see. So, RJ, congratulations. You got what you wanted, you jerk.
I'm not sure I said triple overtime, but yes.
No, you did. You actually did.
No, I'm not going to push you because you're clearly not in a good mood, but that's not what happened. But anyways, so... Yeah. I feel bad. I feel bad for you. I feel bad for Ray. Ray hasn't slept since Tuesday.
I'm not saying Ray doesn't have it worse. Why is this a comparison? Why is it Ray has it worse than Dave, or Dave has it worse than Ray? Why can't we both be upset and on very little, if any, sleep?
Clearly you are.
And why? Because of you. Because you put it out there. So do me a favor. I don't want to hear a word from you heading into game two. Not a word.
All right. Pack up my stuff and
no, I didn't. I didn't say go away.
No, I'm gathering.
See,
my
now
things.
You're being me.
No, nope.
I didn't say be me.
Things have been gathered.
How much stuff do you have?
Well, you can't pick on him 2 days
gathered.
In a row. I mean, you can't pick on him 2 days in a row. The guy tries to do. I mean, he puts in the work for Cuddle Mary Trash, and you actually passed on. I mean, you gave up on an answer. You didn't even answer it.
Well, because it was awful.
And now we're 9 minutes into the show and you're already fresh out of the gate just attacking him.
Well, as we headed to overtime, I'm like, you know, this is RJ's fault. Little did I realize that this little man has the power to change the hockey gods.
This is what happens, though. He put it out there in the atmosphere, man.
Why? Why would anyone do that?
I don't know. I have no idea, because he wants Santiago to suffer, maybe? I don't know.
So is it you don't like Ray? Is that what it is?
No, I love Ray. Ray's
so why would you do that? Why would you do that? And I bet you because he's such a nice guy that Santiago isn't remotely annoyed at you today, which he should be livid with you.
It's remarkable you think I have this power.
I feel like Rick right now. I don't know if it's something I did, but I love you, and I'm very hurt.
It's nothing you did. I feel awful for you. What time did the post game end? 12:30? 1 o'clock? 2 o'clock? 10 minutes ago?
I mean, I didn't get back to the station until well past 1 o'clock, so if that makes you feel better.
Did you sleep at all?
Barely, if at all. I mean,
how would you sleep, though? I mean, he follows him, and he's at every single one of these games. Like, Kevin, he's essentially a part of the Rangers. How would you sleep after
a game
like that?
I basically had to camp outside the locker room from the end of the third period on, because you can't go back upstairs.
No.
What happens?
No, but here's what happens with overtime. Yeah, here's what happens with overtime, though. And this is when I call it quits. It's either it's going to end quick or it's going to
go on forever.
Yeah.
When did you tap out?
I stayed up for as much of the first overtime as I could, but I kept the TV on. And then I just couldn't.
If there was a goal, then you kind of pop
I would
up
wake
and
up.
Hear it, then you shut it off.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was like, I'll close my eyes. Like, I'm trying to keep my eyes open. If I fall asleep, I
played
fall
that
asleep.
Game. So at the end of the first overtime, that was it. You're like, I just can't anymore.
Yeah, I was like, this is enough.
I give you credit for that. There were people, a lot of people on Twitter, like, is Rick awake? No, of course he's not awake. He can't stay up till midnight if he's going to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, as soon as Adam Fox had a chance right down the middle of the slot.
Oh, when he passed it, was it Strome?
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Oh, my God.
God. Shoot the puck, please. Shoot the puck.
I felt like that was a big problem last night.
Pucks and bodies to the net?
They're looking for, like, this you know, 5.0 goal. Just shoot the puck.
Well, I mean, your best player didn't have your best player, you could tell he was frustrated. He did not, he
Ooh,
was
Panarin?
Not sharp. Panarin was not sharp.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought Kreider scored a goal, but I thought he would be more impactful. I just don't know what happened between the first and second periods, because the first period, I mean, I was texting you guys. I mean, you had 19 hits, Reeves is running all over the place. It's almost like you blew your, you know what, in the first period. 15 shots, you're flying around.
Well, I thought they were going to kill Pittsburgh. Well, like, literally, you'd have to drag Pittsburgh off in body bags last
night.
Well,
I mean, Pittsburgh couldn't make any plays, man. I mean, it was like the Rangers smothered them in the first period, and then all of a sudden the second period happens, and Penguins have 25 shots, and you look up, they scored 3 goals. Shesterkin was awesome, and he still gave up 3 goals.
Yeah, when was the last time you looked at a goalie and said, boy, he was phenomenal, and he allowed 3 goals in a period?
Dude, and then he makes, he makes one of the greatest saves you'll see, too. He slides, sees it. It's the 2-on-1 with Crosby and Letang. He comes over, makes an awesome save. And, of course, puck ends up staying in the zone. They score there. And then I felt like they kind of righted the ship there when Kreider scores the shorthanded goal.
I think they did.
You're 5-on-3, and they have a tap-in in front. But I'll tell you what, that overtime, the goal that won it, they have clear possession. I mean, Pittsburgh's dumping the puck, and they're going for a change. Shesterkin has the puck, clear possession, gives it to Miller.
Yep.
Schneider turns it over, and then Hedl gets I think it was Hedl that had the puck. Then he loses it. And whenever that happens, you got 2 turnovers in your own zone, you know something bad is going to happen.
You know it, but here's the thing, and I don't know if you feel like this. I can't blame those guys. They were on the ice forever. Forever.
No, listen, at that point, this is what, overtime, crazy, crazy stuff happens. Like, it's just going to take one or, one mistake to end up in the back of your net.
You almost played 2 full games.
Well, so much so that you can't. I don't want to hear anything about the Rangers' lack of experience. You got almost 2 full games under your belt for the price of one.
It's true. So it wasn't that funny. It didn't deserve that.
Oh, it wasn't meant to be funny. It's the truth.
Right,
how much more pressure pack could kid lines out there in big moments? Like, how much more pressure pack could it be?
It couldn't be. I thought Kako played very well last night.
Yeah, and I thought he scored I thought he was responsible for setting up that game winner.
Should have been. So for the record, anyone tuning in that thinks that should have been wiped away,
it's a goal.
The expert, right? Because the
and I'm a goalie.
What'd you say?
And I'm a goalie.
Right. And Hank said it too, and Valiquette was adamant that that's got to be a goal. Adamant. He even started with, I watch a lot of hockey. Did you hear what he said?
Well,
that?
No, he does. He's one of the guys I'll talk to consistently just because he watches, it's his business. Like, his ClearSight Analytics breaks down every single game, so he's watching all this stuff. And he's breaking down scoring chances and everything else, so he watches as much hockey as anybody. And I've seen that goal count plenty of times.
Well, that's what he said. He goes, I watch a lot of hockey. And there was the exact same play in Carolina last week, and they called it a goal.
Well, see, I'm watching it right now. So you can even see, anyone that wants to say it was the right call, you can see Kako actually come to almost a stop. Like, he turns his feet to stop and cut all the way back around to Smith, and that's when Dumoulin hits him from behind and pushes him forward. That's an awful. I'm watching it. I just watched it three more times. It's an awful call.
If that was a punt in the NFL, that's a push from behind.
It was an awful call, man.
It's a terrible call. It probably cost the Rangers a win, and now here we are on no sleep. 1-800-919-3776. So we don't do it a lot. We will now, but we typically don't do it a lot or really ever. But now is your chance. We are into the Rangers, and because RJ got his dream scenario of drama and length of a game and upset from everyone, it's all happening now. So 1-800-919-3776.
Calls, calls.
Yeah, we'll get to calls, calls. Yankees, I mean, a destruction of Toronto last night. We'll get into that. The Mets, not only did they win one, they win two. They desperately needed a great outing from Carrasco. It didn't seem like he was going to do that in the first inning. Leadoff double was a little wild. He was sensational.
Mets give me my little cookie.
Yeah, the little cookie. They win two.
They should play that. They should play that when Buck goes to get him. They should play that in the loudspeaker.
Give me my little cookie.
How good would that be? Like on the board. They could have that if they'd like it.
That would be so good. And there goes Buck. Come here, my little cookie.
Come here, my little cookie. Come here, my little cookie.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Kako down the right wing, cuts to the net, a collision with the goaltender, centers, score! Filipino! The Rangers take a 4-3 lead.
There was goaltender interference, therefore we have no goal.
I think you guys got screwed because I think that was a bad call.
Yeah, tough. Obviously, you want those calls to go your way. I thought it was a call that could go either way, so it is what it is.
And I've seen that goal count plenty of times.
It's a terrible call. It probably cost the Rangers a win, and now here we are on no sleep.
Three overtime periods, it's tough to lose like that, but get back on the horse and get ready for the next game.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. Time for a little Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I put a lot of pressure on you there, by the way. I gave you a flawless read to work off of at 6:15 this morning. Flawless.
I think we all recognize your greatness. I know, listen, this is why I flub read sometimes, is because I feel the pressure. I know, first of all, I mean, you can't do anything wrong on the show. God, I mean, God forbid you do anything wrong on the show, you're going to hear about it. So that.
Who started that, though? Was you.
Well, because this is, I think we flourish like that. Well, I mean, what do you want to turn the radio on here? Guys being waxing poetic about each other for 3 hours?
No, I just don't think, you know, every time you make a mistake, it needs to be pointed out. But
on ESPN, 98.7.
Yeah, that's what you've let us down, and that's what we do now.
I want accountability across the board.
Are we punting?
Oh, by the way, Jay Williams will be in Memphis at some point.
No, he's in Memphis now.
Oh, he's in Memphis now.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Right,
don't
Memphis
you remember
now.
Yesterday he told us he was going to be
thought
in Memphis.
Part of that Donaldson deal.
Yo, it's Jay Williams, and I'm headed to Memphis. That's right, for what is the biggest
nice.
Game of the season so far.
All right, so Jay's
for
on the way
Grizz.
To Memphis. Are we punting? what was that?
And then you had your Joe Judge moment. We're punting. Quarterback sneak.
I couldn't think of what else to say.
No, it was perfect. It was perfect.
But isn't that why people love live radio? Because you never know when Jay Williams is going to interrupt the show.
We know. We don't. We're on the show and we don't.
Oh, I had no idea. Like, who's
and then
that?
Max
That's
went
Jay
dark.
Williams. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then Max went out. He went dark. So that's when we punted. And then all of a sudden we got him back. We recovered. Someone muffed the punt. We recovered it.
Oh, that was a big muff punt.
I mean, there's a lot that happens in there. That's the last 3 minutes of the show. You had Jay and Memphis muff. I mean, there's so much going on that you can't. I mean, how do you miss any? You can't miss any of the show.
You can't. Well, that's why the guy drives the 1 hour with us from 5 to 6, and then from 6 to 8 brings us inside to work.
There's no excuse not to use the new app. Like it's just one button. Once you download it, it's legitimately just to get live radio. It's you press one button and then boom, it's on.
You open. You don't even have to press the button.
That's what I mean.
You could have it set where you open the app and it just starts playing.
That's how I have it set up. The second I press the ESPN New York app, it's instantly whatever's on.
That's too much for me. I have it where I have to actually hit listen live. But either way, it's a win.
I mean, I get it. It's a lot for you, and you get overwhelmed easily. I think there's a lot going on for you.
There's a lot going on for me. By the way, people want to know. They want to feel part of the show, kind of in the inner circle. Let's bring you right in. The whipped cream was delivered, has been received, and has probably already been consumed. Mel Kiper Jr. received his 12-pack of whipped cream.
Guaranteed he's down. He's got, I'd say...
Nine?
No, I don't think he went that heavy. I think he went one for like a celebratory draft is over. One, right as soon as he opened the box, that one was gone.
How does he not weigh like 374 pounds?
Because he eats the fat. That's why he goes fat-free. And he's eating crab cakes. I mean, he has a very...
Very rich diet.
Very rich
diet. He could play goalie in the NHL. It's that rich.
Well, maybe this is why he doesn't go to the bathroom during the draft. Like, it's just all he's all plugged up.
Yeah, maybe he is. Maybe in fact,
I don't know. How do you... Like, seriously, though, in all honesty, haven't played the position. Like, in moments like that where... And I couldn't even imagine. Like, I've told you a couple different stories. Like, clearly not to that level where it's, I mean, we're in game one of a first-round playoff series, and we're in the second overtime, and the starting goalie decides that he's got cramps or lower body injury, so he needs to go out. Like, I can't even imagine, like, the level of anxiety and nerves that I would have in that moment because, I mean, Louis Domingue actually thought the linesmen were joking with him. They're like, hey, you're going in. He's like, ha. Funny, guys. They're like, no, grab your stuff. Like, you're going. Casey DeSmith
some
is going
spicy
to
spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best.
I think that's better.
No, listen, it can be better. The guy just ate spicy pork and broccoli. And now,
not
how?
The best.
How is that possible?
I don't know how he did it. But I think that rather than tell him, listen, at the end of two overtimes, you're now going to go
know.
In.
They didn't know.
But I think it's better to not know.
Sometimes it's better than that.
I think in that situation, that's better.
It depends on the person.
Now, Ricky Lucia says, I thought Mel was getting 24 cans of whipped cream. Ricky, if you pay close attention, it's a two-step process. 12 cans delivered, 12 more cans on the way.
Yeah, we're trying to save Mel from himself is what I'm trying to do.
That's exactly what we're trying to do. All right, so let's get to a little bit of baseball, if you will. Now, before we do that, though, I'm seeing that you... You flexed your muscles, is what I'm being told.
No,
they
I think
offered
I,
you. They offered you 9:30 yesterday on KJM, and you said no.
Well, no, I didn't say. I said I could. I respectfully said no. I won't be like I can't do it.
That's not what I was told. I was told that they offered you 9:30, and you said I'm Rick DiPietro.
No, it's a garbage. By the way, 9:30 is a garbage slot too. Stop it.
It's not. I mean, it's morning drive.
Well, how much drive is left at 9:30?
Yeah, most people are probably at their office, but that's not the point. But not in the West Coast, not in the Central Time Zone. It's a national show.
I'm talking Rangers hockey. I want to be on the East Coast, baby.
But I see what you do. So they say 9:30. We'd love to have you on. You say, do you know who I am? And now they respond with, how about 8:10 on Wednesday? So you'll be on at 8:10 this morning?
8:10.
Look at you.
Unless for some reason I'm going to be traveling to Memphis to meet Jay Will. I could announce that maybe.
He's in fact in Memphis.
What a dirty
part of that Donaldson deal.
Yo, it's Jay Williams, and I'm headed to Memphis. That's right, for what is the biggest game of the season so far.
All right, so Jay is on the way to Memphis. What was I supposed to say?
Nothing. You did exactly what the great driver should do. And that was that play last night in that game was gross.
Dylan Brooks?
He needs to be suspended for a couple games.
It was awful. That was awful. Like, there is no two sides to that story. That was a horrendous play by Dylan Brooks last night.
Awful play. And now Peyton, I mean, now he broke his elbow, man.
Well, he's done.
It's awful.
He's done. All right. So Mets-Yankees, three great wins. One by the Yankees, two by the Mets. How about we start with the Yankees, switch over to the double dipping for the Mets, and it's all good when it comes to New York baseball. Yankees, you know, fell behind 1-0, 9 unanswered, huge. What was it, the seventh inning they went bananas?
Yep.
Really horrendous umpiring, but you know what? You're not sending it back. Yankees to a 9-1 win. That's 11 in a row, and you look for the sweep against Toronto later tonight.
Yeah. I mean, that was for the Yankees. I mean, you mentioned, I mean, that I understand. I would have challenged it too. It looked to me that Vlad Guerrero's toe was clearly on first base.
Well, I think it was obviously. See, that's what to me is so bizarre is they called it safe, so they thought there wasn't enough to overturn it. But they called it a goal in the Rangers game, but then they come back and think there is enough to overturn it. So it kind of feels a little weird. But anyway, back to the baseball. I thought he was out. I thought it was pretty obvious that he was out, but I guess the umpires didn't see it that way.
Well, yeah, or because they ruled it safe. That wasn't, you know, they didn't have, you know, clear and obvious on the replay that his foot wasn't on first base. I didn't see it that way, but that's fine. I'm not the one making the call. Because then, you know, you have a couple other calls that could have been challenged, especially when, you know, Gonzalez, you know, breakdances past Vlad Guerrero on the rundown, and he clearly got tagged.
Plus, he's out of the baseline.
Well, yeah, I mean, that and the fact that he got tagged.
Yes, the tagging usually will signal that you're going to be out.
Yeah, usually that's what happens. But, I mean, Tyone, again, I mean, good start by him. And the bullpen comes in and does what the bullpen does for the Yankees,
which is shuts it lights down. Out. And Tyone was really good last night too.
Yeah, I said that Tyone was good. I mean, you have Judge. I understand that people want to say, and I agree with you. The Yankees offer was a fair offer, and we had Buster on. If Aaron Judge continues to play the way Aaron Judge is playing and stays healthy, first of all, he's not going to, I mean, now he's a free agent. It's going to cost you more money. How do you walk away from him? How?
Especially if he winds up having a monster season and you do big things.
I don't understand how you would walk away from him.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can. I mean, unless I hope this doesn't happen. If they wind up winning the World Series and he is phenomenal like he's been all season long and has a great postseason, he can almost write a blank check and say, sign it. No?
Hey, Dave, have you ever, and we talked about this at the time, and this is him as a young player, remember? I mean, it's so un-Yankees too, right? I mean, hey, all of a sudden we have Judge's, what is it, Judge's Court, whatever it's called, out in right field?
Chamber, yeah, the chamber.
Judge's Chamber out in right field. Like, hey, this is, you created this. Now he's your, I mean, now he's your captain, the face of your team, one of the faces of baseball. And now we're going to choose to, and then we air out the offer. Oh, by the way, this is what we offered.
That's right.
What are we doing? A guy's got 9 home runs. He's hitting over 300. Plays a great right field, plays center field. I mean, what? I don't know.
Right now, that deal they offered him, he's probably looking at it like, see, I did the right thing.
Well, no, he's laughing because, I mean, again, this is the problem I would have if I'm Aaron Judge. Yeah, you can say it's a fair offer. Great. But it's like, okay, you had no problem giving Garrett Cole 9 years. Right? Like, oh, 9 years, $36 million for him, but now all of a sudden we're pinching pennies for me when I'm actually a guy that you drafted and developed.
And this is your homegrown guy. And I'm told all the time that's the most important guy. And also, and again, I don't want to beat up the Yankees because I don't think it's fair, but that offer, which was a fair offer, was for the face of your franchise, an underwhelming offer.
Well, and oh, by the way, we're going to haggle over $4 million in arbitration this year. Like, you want 21, but we want 7, like, we couldn't have just added money to this year? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, well, listen, they have their number set. And here's the thing also. You could have signed him 3 years ago. You could have signed him 3 years ago at less money. But you're the Yankees, and you figure we'll kick the can down the road. Now, if you sign him to an 8 or 9 year deal, he's going to be an old player. I mean, you're probably not going to get value the final two or 3 years of that deal.
No, and listen, the reality of it, too, is when you sign long-term deals like this, and you put yourself in a spot where all of a sudden now he'll be a free agent, and I mean, when anyone goes to free agency, if you're a good player, you're going to get overpaid. I think we all understand, like with Garrett Cole's contract, you got a 9 year deal. Like the last couple of years of that deal probably aren't going to look good with him making that much money.
Correct.
That's what you sign up for with a long term deal, and you try to capitalize on the first half of that deal.
That's right. And the first half of that deal. I mean, who knows? We'll see what happens. But every time he has a game like that and plays and stays healthy and continues to do what he's been doing, it's going to make it that much more money. That much more money. Here is Aaron Boone on Aaron Judge's recent red hot streak.
Yeah, I told you several days ago we were kind of waiting for him to get going, even though the numbers were still pretty good. But, I mean, usually really squaring up a couple really, really good every night. Tonight, no different, you know, and then the double to get some tack on runs there. Really good to see him getting really settled in and being the player we know he is.
He really, when he is dialed in, he is as good as anybody in baseball.
Well, he's a really good baseball player. Like, he does everything well.
See, that's the difference. There are certain guys that are one-dimensional and are not really good all-around baseball players. There is, and I mean this sincerely, there's not a weakness in his game. Not one.
No, I mean, listen, the guy runs well. I mean, especially for his size.
He's got a cannon for an arm.
He's got a bazooka for an arm.
He catches everything.
He's versatile. I mean, he plays a good set. I mean, he's gold glove caliber, one of the best right fielders in the sport. He's a pretty damn good center. Like, he covers a lot of ground in center field.
Which you'd figure, but you would think some guys are so big that they'd be awkward at center field. He's not like that. He's a huge guy.
But he's a terrific athlete. He can hit for power. I mean, he's one of the few guys in baseball that hits for, I mean, has that kind of power and also hits for average. I mean, like I mentioned, he's up over 300 right now. And he runs the bases well. And on top of that, he's the captain of your team. He's the face of one of the faces of baseball.
There's not one thing, not one, that he doesn't do well. Yankees have now won 11 in a row.
And he's got beautiful new fake teeth.
I like them.
I like that. That's smart, though. Once you get to the show, all of a sudden you get that great insurance.
Yeah, I like
it. You know what? I could use some free new teeth.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Milo's the cross coach. I was talking to him yesterday after practice.
Yeah.
And he said, loves the show. And he said his favorite part of the show is when when you sing.
Really?
Yeah, favorite part.
Good times!
No, keeping your head above water is his favorite.
Keeping your head above water.
That's his favorite one?
He loves that one.
Thank you for being a friend.
I said, you know what? What would make it even better is if you could actually see his face while he's in the process of singing. Would make it
everybody!
It makes it that much better.
Does it really?
Yeah, because you don't even understand you're doing it.
I'm doing it.
No, I know you're singing. You know you're singing, but you don't realize what you're doing. Like the other day when you went into character to show off your acting chops with your read, like you actually like physically were in the character. Like I could see it in your face.
If you're going to be an actor like I have now become, you have to get into character. Like Dustin Hoffman, like that's what he does for Rain Man.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
He doesn't really have those issues. They converted my kid's bathtub to a shower. No demolition.
You were doing the hand thing? Oh,
I think you have to.
Just emoting all over the Zoom.
I think you have to. Now, DPHR Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. I had something to say, and I have no recollection of what that was. So let's turn into the Mets for a minute, would we? That would be nice, yes?
They deserve it.
They deserve more maybe than a few minutes. 1-800-919-3776. So I don't know if you felt like this, because maybe you have higher aspirations and expectations. I went in yesterday thinking to myself, I'll take a split. Give me one win. I'd be fine with that. Win today, 2-2, get out of Dodge. They've gained no ground. I'm fine. I did not realistically think the Mets would go out there and sweep yesterday afternoon into the evening. What a phenomenal job. And so many guys deserve credit. Right? Game one, Drew Smith, Ottavino, Diaz, bullpen, Yankees like filthy. Game two, Carrasco, phenomenal. Dom Smith, big hit. I mean, every single person that had to produce for the Mets yesterday produced for the Mets yesterday.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, and I get what you're saying. I mean, that first game, I mean, Peterson had the one play where, you know, he's turning to make that play at second, takes his eye off the ball.
And then the three-run home run.
And then the three-run home run. But, I mean, you mentioned the bullpen. I mean, listen, Drew Smith's been lights out. Ottavino, I mean, his stuff. See, that's the thing with Ottavino. When he's right, his stuff is, it's like wiffle ball stuff. Like, it's like you can't believe the ball.
That's exactly what it is.
Like, the ball moves as much as the ball moves. So he was locked in, and then you had Diaz, and then you had, I mean, and Carrasco, I mean, give this guy so much. Like, he was in and out of trouble, but, I mean, he found his way through that and gave you, because, you know, listen, you never know. When you heard Buck after the game, too, it's like how you manage your bullpen is so important because you don't know what's going to happen with your starting pitcher.
Well,
like,
you say that, and you're right, because I went into the game, and I'm talking to the boys, right? And I'm like, guys, here's the thing. Because what do you expect from Carrasco? 5 1/3, maybe 6 if you get lucky. I said, how are we getting 9 outs or 11 outs? And we started to, well, are you going to pitch Shreve? Can Lugo go 2 innings? Could you, if you have to come back with Diaz in a second game? Like, we couldn't figure out how they were going to get those outs. And for Carrasco to go out and give you 8 innings, Rick, I mean, that is a tremendous performance.
Yeah, 8 innings, and Bucks stayed away from Lugo so they could use him in the second game. I mean, listen, I mean, the Braves 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position, but to have Carrasco go out and give you 8 scoreless innings, I mean, it's exactly what you needed. But again, I mean, it's almost what, no, I'm not going to say 8 scoreless is what you expect, but, like, I mean, with the starting staff and how good it's been.
A good start, yes, but 8 was, I mean, that was...
No,
that was unexpected.
I completely agree. But you expect the starters to go out there and pitch well and give you a chance. And that was more than a chance. That was lights out.
It was lights out. And you know what got me nervous? Because he falls behind Acuna, I guess it was 3-0 first at bat of the game. And then he doubles into the corner. And then they move him over to third with one out. And you're thinking, all right, if I get out of this with one run, I'll take that. Then he gets a strikeout, then he gets the next out, and you get out of that first inning allowing no runs. Now you go to the bottom of the frame, and you get a couple guys on. Dom Smith comes up, goes the other way, 2 runs score, and all of a sudden, you have a 2-0 lead, and they built on that momentum, and it carried through the entirety of the game.
Yeah, and then you had, I mean, there was the, you know, the 6 where Olsen had the leadoff double, and he finds a way to work his way out of that. So, yeah, I mean, he was in trouble, but again, I mean, to his credit, he found a way to get through it. Alonso had the, you know, the solo home run, makes it 3-0, and you know, the Mets walk away with 2 big wins.
Pete's hitting well too, and he's hitting the ball the other way, which I like.
Well, but they are. I mean, look what McNeil's doing this year. Like, I mean, because again, it's like it. I get, you know, having information and everything else, but sometimes it's just too much. Like, I mean, there's a reason why, you know, Jeff McNeil has turned himself into a really good hitter. And he's back to being the Jeff McNeil we saw when he first kind of, you know, burst onto the scene here with the Mets. Guys up at almost, I mean, he's right around, like, what, 350 right now?
Yeah. He's hitting well. I mean, Pete started to hit better. What happens when it gets warm and they really start to hit?
Well, I know. I mean, and Lindor was good. He's kind of slowed down a little bit. But, I mean, even Jankowski yesterday was
I
huge.
Love that guy. You know what? Because he gets on base. He's a terrific outfielder. He's got speed.
Yeah, he has everything. I mean, he has, like, listen, we were talking about LeCastro, too, and, like, what you know, how LeCastro plays good defense. You put him in as a pinch runner, can steal your base. Like, Jankowski's a good defender. He's a good athlete. He can run. I mean, you have him leading off in that first game. He goes 2-for-3, scores 3 runs.
Exactly. And he's a good base dealer. I mean, he is honestly the perfect fourth outfielder.
Perfect.
The perfect fourth outfielder. So you got to be, and now I said this on Monday morning, and now we sit here on Wednesday morning, and it rings true. If you win this game today, and you have McGill, who's been phenomenal so far this season, you win this game today, you are 8 games ahead of the Braves. And I get it. I get that we're in very early May, but I don't care what point it is. 8 games is a sizable lead over that team.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And listen, no one's gonna discount what the Braves, you know, are capable of doing. You know, and Acuna is going to get, I mean, he gets back, he gets himself acclimated, and he gets, you know, back to being one of the best players in baseball. But, I mean, to be sitting here now, you know, beginning of May, 18 wins, not having lost a series. I mean, one of the big numbers you look at, right, is the run differential. I mean, right now you have the second best run differential in the National League. So, yeah, I mean, this is, your starting pitching's been good. I mean, as a Mets fan, you love your manager too, by the way. Like, I mean, there's not, like,
love him.
There's nothing he's not ready for. And like I said the other day, they play good, sound baseball. They do. They run the bases well. They go first to third. I mean, they use the opposite field. Got guys playing, you know, not afraid to go the opposite way, away from the shift. McNeil will bunt for eight.
They'll bunt, away from the shift. They're not collapsing this year. They're not. I'm sorry. And everyone say, how could you say that? They're not. They're not. They're too good. They're well managed. They're good. They're talented. They're deep. They have a lot of pitching. They're not. They're not collapsing this year. I feel confident saying that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, barring injuries, and I know you've said it a bunch of times, and I've said it a bunch of times, this team has a different feel around it.
A very, very different feel.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
It's your favorite segment on the show.
He's confident.
I want to be a college professor.
He's arrogant.
I'm the talent.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You'd like his book. You should read his book.
I don't read.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Uh-oh. That I don't read is a very underrated line, by the way. Stump Rothenberg is always brought to you by Jackpocket. I know you're playing because every time I ask you, you kind of admonish me. So I assume that you're going to be playing this week. But we start how we always start. And that's probably a giddy man who, you know what, shouldn't be all that giddy this morning. And that's one Andy and Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Dave and Rick. What a beautiful morning.
You see, you're a bad human being. You know that?
Sports hate is a wonderful thing. So, David,
yes.
In light of the Rangers' overtime loss, I'm giving you a Rangers question today.
All right.
It's obvious that King Henrik is the organization's all-time leader in playoff games played.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me who's number two?
This feels like a layup.
You think?
Is it for the Rangers?
Yes, for the Rangers organization, not
what do you mean,
a layup.
What do you mean, is it for the Rangers?
No, I just thought, or it could be like just career playoff, like someone that's played for the Rangers career playoff games. I don't know.
I mean, I would.
I was just making sure.
You think it's Leach?
Oh, I love Leachy.
Girardi?
Well, I mean, those teams played. I mean, you got to remember those teams played a ton of.
A ton of
playoff games.
And they went into long extended series. McDonough?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, Hank, obviously, Stahl, McDonough.
But if you remember about Leach, there were a bunch of seasons they didn't make the playoffs, so they didn't go very far.
I almost made one of the greatest saves of my career on Brian Leach, but he scored.
Almost, but didn't?
I can remember, like, it would have been, like, such an amazing come-over, desperation, glove save. And just Leachy goes elbowing in.
Ugh. So I would say I have it narrowed to four.
But that doesn't sound Leach, very narrowed.
Well, I mean, they had a long story tradition. I would go Leach, Girardi, Stahl, or McDonough. Because I think it's got to be someone of recent vintage.
It feels like you've kind of, by process of elimination, deleted Leach from your list, and your first instinct felt like Girardi. So go with your first instinct.
So that means you know the answer, which means I won't argue with you, because if it's wrong, I can now blame you. I will do that, Dan Girardi. Nice.
Number five in your scorebook. Good day, guys.
Good
job,
day
Andy.
To you,
great
sir.
Question. Great question.
That was a good question. Let's go to Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you're on 98.7 ESPN. Stump Rothenberg.
I got a baseball question for you guys.
Let's do it.
All right. Have at it.
Which player has hit the most home runs in one ballpark for a career? So give me the player and the stadium.
All right now. See, now what he doesn't realize, Rick, is my father was a huge New York Giants baseball fan. And adored the Polo Grounds, and one of his favorite players was the great Mel Ott. Mel Ott, Polo Grounds, final answer.
You got it, Dave. 323 home runs in the Polo Grounds.
And what do you think of that?
This is how Stump Rothenberg is supposed to work.
I am
just like that.
I am
I mean, come on. That was unbelievable.
No, that's like the immaculate answer is what that was.
That was, it was clean, it was quick, it was concise, it, yep. It brought back like fond memories. It had everything anybody could possibly want. All right, now we sit here at 2-0. What's your question?
I have an NHL related question, David.
Oh, of course you do.
And it seems time.
And it's gonna be an NHL playoff question, isn't it?
It is. So yeah. You asked me the question earlier in the show. More concerned Rangers losing game one at home or Florida Panthers winning game one at home? Mm-hmm. Florida Panthers are the team that won the President's Trophy, and we've seen how teams have struggled winning a cup when they win the President's Trophy. Can you tell me the last team to win the President's Trophy and the Stanley Cup?
Well, the Rangers did it in 94, but I don't think it's going to be that far back. I don't think the Lightning. What about the Blackhawks? I think it's the Blackhawks. Do you need
final
the
answer?
Year or you only need the team?
I only need the team. I only ask you for the team.
Unless it's not the Bruins.
Nope.
I think it's the Blackhawks.
Final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
Give them the ding, baby. That is correct.
That's 3-0.
That's 3-0
right
there.
It feels different today.
Well, because it's just it's up tempo. It's fast paced.
Is
just,
that what it is?
Boom.
It's like the okie doke offense we're running here.
Whatever you want to call it, I like what we're doing right now.
What year was that, by the way? Do you know that?
That was 12-13.
What do you mean 12-13?
2012, okay. 13.
Yeah, I thought you were saying 2013 instead. You said 12-13. Okay. That's my mistake. I apologize for that. Let's go to Kyle in New Haven. Kyle, Stump Rothenberg, an undefeated version. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave, I got another baseball question for you. Who is the National League leader in steals and triples in 2006?
Now, let me just ask you this. Is this a good question?
I'll tell you why it's not a good question. It's because I can't imagine myself at a party with buddies and bringing, like, so specific to a year.
In fact, I think if you were asked that at a party, you'd be like, who cares, no?
No, I would. I'm nicer than that. So you want the leader in steals and triples in 2006?
Yes, it's the same person.
It's probably Reyes, but I still stand by it's not a good question.
Yeah. I don't think you need to be nasty about it.
Well, I think he needs to be better. Why can't I expect people to be better than that? That's a boring question. Who cares?
It's Reyes at least. I mean, whatever. Move on.
All right, let's go. I mean, you know, we almost can't do an episode of Stump Rothenberg without this guy. And this guy is your favorite, Sal and Dutchess. All right, Sal, have at it.
Buongiorno, my buddies. Now, just so from last week, Dave, it's always going to be, woo, the nature boy. Not the nature man, the nature boy.
He's an older gentleman, but that's fine.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
It's going to be a baseball question, but it's going to have to do with the movie League of Their Own.
Okay.
Okay. Now, in the movie, the Rockford Peaches has two field position players, which is what two position players on the Rockford Peaches have the same jersey number and play the same positions as two New York Yankees? Doesn't have to be recent. Just think of the positions, think of the jersey numbers, and then think of the New York Yankees.
All right, so I believe Gina Davis wore number 8, which would line up with one Yogi Berra.
Or Dickie. Bing. That's one. This one I gave you before, Dave. This one I gave you before.
Think of
the position. Think of the ethnic background. And it should be right there.
Really?
Giving you right. All sorts of clues, Dave.
I give you the year. 1936, when it started. How was that, Rick? I help him out.
Oh, I love you, Sal.
I know.
RJ, RJ, I'm going to need Sal saying buongiorno, please, for my open tomorrow. Thank you.
All right, I'll say all the way May, number 5, Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, man, you got it.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
Why do they call it all the way May, by the way?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Right up your alley, I believe, though. Right up your alley. That, I believe, is what, 4-0?
5-0.
That's 5-0?
I believe that's 5-0, yeah.
I mean, do you see what's happening here?
Greatness.
Right in front of your eyes. All
right. Right in front of your face.
Batista in the car. Batista, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
All right. I got a movie question for you.
All right.
What is the scuba instructor's name in Along Came Polly?
Oh, I love that movie.
We talked about this yesterday.
No, wait. So that's Claude is the instructor.
At the scuba?
Correct.
Yes. Played by Hank Azaria, who is a fraud fan.
Well done, Ruben.
Well done, Ruben.
I absolutely love that.
By the way, do you know the cast of Along Came Polly?
Yeah, by the way, speaking of Along Came Polly, because I looked this up this morning, Buck Showalter, if the Mets somehow win the World Series, they decide they want to do, you know, some kind of movie based around this season, Philip Seymour Hoffman has to play Buck. Has to play Buck.
You do realize Philip Seymour Hoffman is dead, right?
Yeah, I do. But he, I mean, if they were going to do a movie, and he was alive, I would go with him.
you had no idea, did you?
I had no idea. No.
You had Philip Seymour. Right! I mean, let's not draw attention to that. I mean, and he's been dead for like probably I'd say 10
more
years
than
maybe.
That. Nah, close. 2014.
Yeah. So yeah,
I didn't look that part. I didn't look that part. Yeah,
you really are.
I couldn't help but think about it though.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I just think you're wrong in saying that without having that knowledge. It was a big deal when he passed away.
Yeah,
RJ,
I missed that, to
quickly move on and not draw more attention to that, why don't you go with your little five-pack of questions?
Yeah, we move on.
Yeah.
So, players remaining, Dave, in the NBA playoffs.
Okay.
All
that
right.
Are alive.
Living players?
Current players in the playoffs, yep.
Okay.
I'm upset.
You know what's great? You know what's great about this? He spends hours on his picks, and it pains him when he's wrong. He's saying this guy should play this guy in a movie. The guy's been dead for almost 10 years.
No, I'm dead inside. And I thought when I thought it, I was like, I should check, but I'm like, no, I don't need to check.
Oh my God! All right, RJ, go.
You're dead.
All right, current living players.
Current living players, good.
Jordan Poole,
Michigan.
Yep.
This is not a great day.
Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Oh Ricky, why don't you take over?
No.
Now, come on.
I don't want to. I'm trying to recuperate here.
A guy that just perpetually plays for winning teams. Jay Crowder.
Well, you know it?
I'm tapped out.
I'd be impressed.
Marquette.
Yeah.
Very upset.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Colorado.
Well done. Finally. Desmond Bain.
Oh, he's a horned frog.
Oh, did you do that in the Saturday vehicle?
No, don't you? Wasn't that here?
No.
That was here.
No, we had LaDainian
Tomlinson. He's a horned frog.
LaDainian
Tomlinson.
Yeah,
that's from Desmond Bain.
RJ was out that week.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What it was.
Oh, he was on one of his magical.
He was on one of the bachelor parties.
Magical
weddings.
Vacations.
See,
yep.
Your memory's so good, you even remember what we did and what we didn't do.
That's right. He's a horned frog.
Well,
by the way, can you give my final record there, please?
I believe it was 10-0,
or maybe 11.
Oh yeah, the Along Came Polly.
I am too smart. I am too smart.
11.
I want to apologize for detracting from the segment.
You made yourself. You made it about you.
You know what's great? I was as good as I could be, and you soiled yourself in that segment.
I'm shook up right now.
Yeah, and that's Stump Rothenberg. We're going to buy you a minute here. Brought to you by the Jackpocket app. Play official state lottery games on your phone. Yeah, but if he was still alive.
I see dead people.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
What's the matter? Talk to me.
No, listen, there's nothing to matter. I just thought, I don't know how I get up from that. I don't.
From what? From thinking that. And you know what was great about what you just did there?
Nothing.
Is I said, by the way, Philip Seymour Hoffman, yes, he'd be great as Buck Showalter, except he's dead. You go, no, I know.
Philip Seymour Hoffman has to play Buck. Has to play Buck.
You do realize Philip Seymour Hoffman is dead, right? But the reaction is, I know.
Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman has to play Buck. Has to play Buck.
You do realize Philip Seymour Hoffman is dead, right?
Yeah, I do. But if they were going to do a movie, that's what that. And he was alive, I would go with him.
Yeah, you had no idea, did you?
I had no idea. No.
But if he was alive, Oh, you are unbelievable.
If they were doing a movie produced in heaven, yes. Then,
you know who could play Max Scherzer? John Belushi. Get John Candy to sit in the front row.
Not my finest moment.
No, really wasn't. DPHR Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. I want to get back to the Rangers, but that was too much fun. Let's go to Brian in Oceanside. Brian, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, or bad morning for Rick. Rick, buddy, I have a silver lining for you. I really do. Now, listen, I wake up a half hour early to drive into the Bronx to go to work just to listen to you guys. So I love you. But that was pitiful. I have a silver lining, though. I really do.
All right, let me hear it.
I think you just created your own bracket in Drop Madness for next year.
Good, great, grand, wonderful.
Michael and Don have to hear this, and I think you might have just got on. And that was so terrible that I think you could take it. That could be number one.
They don't want the smoke that we provide. If we put our drops in their Drop Madness, in fact, RJ, haven't we tried to put drops in their Drop Madness and they won't take them, right?
I don't know if there's been a formal request. I think we'd have to start small. Like maybe we get one drop from each of you in the nether region and test the waters.
No, because it would wind up winning and it would throw the whole thing off the rails.
Listen, if Carlin drops can end up in Drop Madness, why can't I drop?
Because they don't fear those drops.
They're not fearful of the Carlin drop. The Carlin drop is just, it's whatever. It's fine. It might make a run, get to the Elite Eight. It's not going to go all the way. Our drops could go all the way.
And RJ, I don't like how you're saying we'll start small with the nether region. That's offensive.
DJ on Twitter says, so Dave kills people and Rick resurrects them.
I see dead people.
Yeah, we just had
nobody had any idea that Magic was going to die.
Philip Seymour Hoffman has to play Buck. Has to play Buck.
You do realize Philip Seymour times. Hoffman is dead, right?
How about I just want to hammer home the point that he has to.
He has to. You realize he's dead, right? No. Yeah, but still, if you were alive, that's who. You're unbelievable. All right. Can we get back to the Rangers? I mean, I'd prefer to make fun of you the rest of the show because the Rangers conversation is very painful, but I think we owe it to the listeners and the fans to get into the Rangers discussion. That was awful last night. And the thing that I think you wake up this morning and bothers you the most is that's got to be a goal. That's not goaltender interference. He was pushed into the goalie, and that should be a goal. And because it wasn't, the Rangers wind up losing in triple overtime, keeping us up into all hours of the night and now trailing this best of seven, one game to none.
Yeah, I watched it a couple different times, too, here during the course of the show. And if you watch it again, and you know, we talked about this in the 5 o'clock hour, as Kako comes across the crease, you can tell, you know, even how he has his feet positioned, that he's trying to pull the puck in his body away from DeSmith and then wrap the puck, you know, far side around his foot. You know, Dumoulin's on his back, bumps into him, and if you watch it again, because I just watched it again, it's actually Dumoulin that actually ends up wiping out DeSmith and dragging him out of the net, which leaves the net wide open. But again, call doesn't go your way. I still think, I mean, when you look at the totality of this game, I mean, first period, you couldn't ask for better from the Rangers. And that period was exactly what you were looking to do. It was, I mean, it was physical. You had 19 hits in that period, 15 shots. Fox has the PP goal. And then for some reason, you know, second period, yeah, the momentum turned.
But I think you expected that to, like, I didn't expect them to fall apart.
Not for the entire period.
25 shots and 3 goals. But I didn't expect them to play at that level the entirety of the game.
No, I didn't either. And you expect, I mean, this is, listen, that's a team that's had, you know, has a lot, especially their, you know, their top tier guys have, you know, a ton of experience of won cups, right? I mean, their coach has won cups. So, I mean, you expect you're going to get some pushback. Now, it's how you deal with that pushback. Like, I mean, okay, you know, you're going to push back for a couple minutes, but we're going to take that momentum back. I mean, that second period, like you mentioned, I mean, the Penguins had 25 shots in that second period. And Igor, I mean, he gives up 3 goals, but he stood on his head.
They could have scored 5 or 6 goals in that period. Easily.
See, yeah, and that's the thing. Because right now, for a Rangers fan, I can only imagine how you feel right now. But a couple things is DeSmith ends up leaving the game, and he played well. He ends up leaving the game with lower body cramps, whatever it was. And you get, you know, Louis Domingue in the second OT, who looks like, you know, he's wearing a brand new set of pads that he just took out of the box, has no idea he's going to come into that game, had spicy pork and broccoli during the intermission, and you couldn't find a way to get one on him. That's the first thing. Second thing is they got to figure out what they're going to do with this Crosby line. Crosby, Gensel, and Rust are a real problem for them right now.
Yeah, they completely dominated. So the Rangers didn't score a goal from what? From the Kreider goal in the second period. So they didn't score for the third. They didn't score in the fourth period. They didn't score in the fifth period. So I mean, and they didn't score in the beginning of the sixth period. They didn't score for a full game plus after Kreider scored that shorthanded goal.
Yeah, correct. And they gave up 83 shots.
Which is the second most in the history of the NHL, the 83 shots that were thrown at the goaltender. So, and in playing what? In playing 108 minutes, something like that, they scored one 5-on-5 goal last night.
Yeah, they had the shorthanded, they had the power play, and they had the 5-on-5 goal.
So you can make excuses, and I think that they're built in. I think it's obvious. I think that was an awful call. I thought at the time, I thought on the replay, you hear the analysis, that's a bad call. But you still had a lot of time to capitalize, and you couldn't get that done. And, you know, I blame the officials, and I blame the Rangers, too, for that, because they should have won that game last night.
Yeah, they should have won. I give Pittsburgh a ton of credit. I mean, they fought back because they looked in that first period. I mean, with the physicality of the Rangers, they're just dumping pucks out. They're not making plays. So I give them credit for bouncing back and winning that game. But, the Rangers are in a spot now where you got to spend today, you know, obviously, you know, getting the appropriate rest, but, you know, try to figure out what happened from the first period to the second period. How do we fix that? Because, I mean, you heard Gallant after the game, got a little bit too cute. Panarin's got to play better. I mean, that's bottom line for me. He's got to play better. He's got to be more of a factor. You can see he was kind of frustrated. Wasn't handling the puck well. Kreider scored the shorthanded goal, but I don't. With the kind of season that he had, I expect, especially with his size and speed, I expected a little bit more out of him.
I think it's fair.
And again, I'll highlight it again. I think the biggest problem that the coaching staff has to figure out, especially because you're at home and you have last change, is who do we want going up against Crosby's line? What D we want out there? What line we want out there? Because you could tell, like Sully, Mike Sullivan, the coach of the Penguins, and I told you, he's one of the best coaches in the league. Like, he realized, especially in that second period, that Crosby's line had it going. So how can we put them in the best spot to have success? And he was trying to find ways to get them out there against the kid line. Like, whatever he had to do to give them the advantage, he was trying to find ways to do it. So that's what you're up against. But I have no concerns at all about Shesterkin. I thought he was awesome. The only thing I'll say about him is I didn't think his puck handling was as good as it usually is. I thought he was slow to make decisions. And then that last goal in OT, that's
and not I get his that, fault.
No. I'm not saying that. But I get you're tired, but you can't have that happen. I mean, you can't have Pittsburgh. That's a dump. They're going for a change. You have, you know, clear puck possession. Shesterkin gives it to Miller. Schneider gets the puck, you know, the puck, he's trying to clear it, it gets knocked down, and then Hedl has the puck, it gets taken away from him. And anytime you turn the puck over a couple times in your own zone, bad things usually happen. And that's the other thing, too, that Pittsburgh, I thought, did a really good job, because they know how good Shesterkin is get pucks and bodies to the net, man.
Yeah, but the Rangers didn't do that at all. It felt like the Rangers were going for this beautiful game-winning goal where I have a shot, but I'm not going to take it. I'm going to pass it to you, and then you get it. You have the shot. It's wide open, but you pass it for the perfect goal. Just throw the puck at the net, for God's sakes.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's not like, I mean, I can understand why you would do that against Shesterkin or Vasilevskiy or one of those really good goalies. It's like, you know, if he sees it, he's going to save it. So we're going to, you know, we want to, you know, sometimes we try to make the perfect play to beat him, but I mean, you're going up against Pittsburgh's backup, and then the backup to that backup. I thought a perfect example of that was Fox in the first overtime.
Oh, the one to Strome? Shoot the puck. I mean, what was it, 8 feet out? Shoot the puck?
I mean, you're right down the pipe, right down the slot, and you're an elite
offensive defenseman.
One of the best offensive defensemen in the league.
Yeah, shoot the puck.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.